A Taste of Ireland with Ireland's Blue Book. A romantic collection of Irish country house hotels, manor houses, castles and restaurants. Ireland'sBlueBook.com.
On Dublin's easy place to relax.
Sunshine 106.8. Sunshine 106.8.
And you're very welcome to A Taste of Ireland. My special guest this evening is Lisa Wilkinson, entrepreneur. And I have to say, Lisa, very interesting story. You're very welcome to the programme.
Thank you so much for having me today.
Now, I'm here in the Wicklow Escape, which is your beautiful property down here in Wicklow. And you've just become a member. You're a new addition to Ireland's Blue Book.
Yes, we were so delighted to get the news. It's something I've been aspiring to for years, but when we reinvented ourselves, if you like, this July, I thought it would be a prime property for the Blue Book customers.
But Lisa, if you could just give us a little bit of info, just tell us a little bit about your career. You're obviously from the UK and how you ended up here in the Wicklow Escape.
So yeah, 29 years in Ireland now. My story is quite a long one, I suppose. I met a man on an aeroplane. So I think a lot of people who move to Ireland, it's for love. And I moved here 29 years ago as a internet security specialist. So I was a cryptographer, mad into mathematics, worked in tech and programming for years. And when I first came here, I was working for, I think it was ICL down in Leopardstown, and then quickly moved to San Francisco with everybody else back in the early 90s. Came back, was headhunted by Dermot Desmond, one of his companies, worked for a company called Baltimore Technologies, again doing management, cryptography. And then I left to start my own business. So that was 20 years ago.
Wow. And from there to yoga, because, of course, you have a famous yoga school as well here in Dublin 7. And then you opened this up. But this wasn't, of course, originally wasn't a culinary sort of foodie's paradise, was it? It was a yoga place.
Yeah. So the first time I came here, I was running Ireland's first boot camp activity. So we used to take people up the mountain, feed them 800 calories a day and give them about 8 hours of exercise. So I came here. It was recently converted from an Anoiga hostel. There were dorms, communal showers. It was a very different experience. So I ran a few yoga retreats here before it was turned into a mountain adventure centre.
Some people might say it was a bit crazy opening up starting a new enterprise just pandemic-wise, but you started this just before, was it?
So The twist, if you like, because we used to run a lot of corporate events here. I mean, we still have weddings, but we were mostly doing yoga retreats, corporate getaways, hen parties, that kind of thing. So in around March of this year, a good friend of mine, Karen Dwyer, and myself and Aina Hassett sat down and really they persuaded me to do what I really love. And what I really love is really nice food and being treated really, really well, really, really pampered. So bringing together all the investment that I'd made in the property, you know, I've got beautiful alpaca blankets in the bedroom, I've got handmade furniture that we designed. I'm bringing that all together with the food experience was just, it just really made sense.
Yeah, amazing. And I mean, the food, I'll be chatting to Danny again later, as I was saying, but the food last night here, the experience was really, really up there, I would have to say. I'm lucky in my job. I get to go and see nice places and taste lovely food. It was really, I would say, sublime. It was really delicious. And the lovely experience of being in a table with 11 people that you haven't met before. And now today, I mean, I think I've 10 new friends.
Yeah. So, you know, that's what always happens here. We were kind of, my staff were a little bit nervous about doing the long table experience, but I was like, no, I've done this before. And, you know, especially I kind of joke with them, especially after COVID, because we get a lot of couples here away for a romantic break. You know, you've been maybe stuck in the house with them for 2 years. You want to talk to somebody else. You know, you want to get that interaction. And you end up like, you know, I've been dancing here with the guests. All sorts of has gone on. And we have the saying here as well, what happens in the glen stays in the glen. So yeah, it's all kept hush hush.
Well, I just want to say there was no dancing last night, right? But which I was happy about, because the beds, by the way, I'm not sure where you got those beds, Lisa. But wow, you know, I won't get one into the back of the Golf on the way back, but amazing.
Yeah, no, we 30 people buy our beds, so I think I invested about 9,000 in the beds. They're hotel quality, 5-star. But we were rolling around beds in Palmerstown for about 2 hours until we found the one, and then literally. Yeah, we probably get a call once every month or every 2 months, someone saying, where did you get the beds?
Yeah, it's a good bed and a good shower, isn't that what people say when you go somewhere? That those two things are just so important.
Well, that's the other thing. Like we have, our water is harvested from a spring in the mountain, which is in the back garden. So we've got a good pressure coming down, and then we've got these massive rainhead showers in the room. So you've got this beautiful spring water, so everyone's hair gets really nice and floppy and floaty the next day as well, so, and your skin just feels really lovely.
It is. I mean, I have to say, I experienced that myself with my floppy hair today. It's great. Just for people to get an idea, if you could bring them through, I suppose I'm sitting here with you in this sort of what I would call a kind of an almost idyllic garden setting, beautiful forest behind. I mean, you picked this, obviously, you must have come here and you must have thought to yourself, this is the place, or, you know, because it's very special here.
So when I was scrolling through Facebook one day, I'd always had it in my head, you know, I'll try and buy something in the countryside and maybe put a business on there. So I was scrolling through Facebook and I saw this post came up, One Careful Owner. And I was like, oh my God, where's that? So I contacted Aaron and he said, oh, this is your old yoga retreat, it's for sale. And I was like, oh, what's the story? He said, oh, we have a few people kind of bidding on it at the moment. I said to him, I'll be down tomorrow. So I sat in the garden with him. I struck a bargain that he couldn't refuse. And we kicked all the other people off the list, the prospectors. And so I told him I was a cash buyer, which I wasn't. So I sold my house in Stony Batter in 7 days.
Wow.
And I hustled.
Big demand for Stony Batter, obviously.
Yeah. Oh my God, yeah, absolutely. You know, a two up, two down, and now I've got 9 beautiful bedrooms, a mountain in the garden, surrounded by forests, and it's just absolutely beautiful. I spent, you know, the chunk of change I had from selling the house on landscaping and renovating the property.
And of course, yeah, I mean, I remember this was an Onoiga hostel one stage, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, remember Onoiga? Everybody remembers those. And I mean, to transform it to this is such amazing.
It was a journey through Pinterest. I had so many Pinterest boards with things I'd love. And I think because I'd been renting somewhere for about 10 years, it was my opportunity to put my kind of interior creative stamp onto the place. So I really enjoyed the opportunity to make the design really special, really contemporary. So, you know, it's not twee, it's kind of high end. You know, the furniture we designed ourselves and made ourselves. So it's all been commissioned for the bedrooms and the long haul as well. So, and the landscaping and the gardens as well. So I studied permaculture as well and small holding many, many moons ago. So one of the concepts here was to have this kitchen garden idea. So we have a full permaculture garden. So we grow a lot of food here as well. So it can't get any fresher.
For people when they come here, I mean, you have a spa as well and you have a lot of wellness. And I mean, that's something that you're big into, of course, with your yoga background as well.
Yeah, so you know, my mission in life with all of my businesses is to bring happiness into people's lives, whether it's through well-being, whether it's through treating yourself or entertaining. And the idea of this experience, it's a 3-day experience when people book in for the full package here, if you like. There's a 3-day experience where we bring them through this journey. So the idea is from the moment you arrive till the moment you leave, you're kind of brought through this experience of well-being, of pampering, of gourmet experiences. So that was the idea behind it.
Yeah, and you start like on a Wednesdays and on a Friday, is that it?
Yeah, so our guests either arrive on a Wednesday or a Friday. On the first night, as we're in the kind of the winter season now, where they're treated to welcome cocktails and then the forest feast. So, you know, Danny, you'll probably talk about Danny's menu, but it's all like venison and game and mushrooms. It's really kind of celebrating the forest. Everything is paired with wine. So we've selected wine pairings for all of the courses. And then there's the hot tub, either on the Friday or the Saturday night, which people book their own slots in. And you get to sit in a wood-fired hot tub outside, and you've got the canopy of oak above you, and then the stars, and then deers screaming in the woods. And the next morning then there's a breakfast, and then we pack a picnic lunch, and we give people the opportunity, if they want to explore like Ireland's ancient east, all the beautiful things and the historical things we have around us. That night then is the finale, if you like. It's the five course. I think sometimes turns into seven courses, like last night. It's the tasting menu, again, curated by Danny with wine pairings. And then on the third day, there's a brunch. So the nice hearty brunch, and then guests kind of roll into their cars and go home.
I mean, do you have a big input into the menus yourself?
I don't. I'm not one of those chef owners.
Too many cooks.
Do you know, Danny, I think, no, do you know, like, I think the first time she cooked here, I kind of said, I think I made one comment, and she kind of like smiled and waved at me. And like since then, no, you don't need to with the caliber of chef of like Danny. The other thing is we're just so, and I hate the word blessed, but we're so lucky here because we're surrounded by these producers, like my neighbors, my friends. The first thing I did when I moved down here is I just made friends with everybody, and everyone seems to grow something. So we've got this, you know, Wagyu beef, Ballyhubbock ricotta, we've got the Castle Rodgery Farm, we've got Wine Tavern Pork. So everything on the menu last night, you know, it comes within it's a hyper-local 3-mile radius. And it's incredible. That's why it's fresh, because it's literally travelling across the road, you know.
Isn't that amazing? It reminds me of the TV programme, The Good Life, remember?
Yeah. Like, so actually, I have an old boyfriend of mine once gave me a necklace with the word Felicity on it, because she was actually my poster girl, Felicity Kendall. Yeah, definitely The Good Life.
Wonderful. And I mean, for people, when you were saying how many you take here, 16 people, or you can take up to how many, Lisa?
So we take 18 with 3-day staycation or 3-day kind of gourmet getaway. We can put more people in for weddings, for instance. We can double up on the rooms if people want to kind of share with their family. Like, so we can take a wedding of up to about 26 people staying over, and then extra people can stay locally in local places, you know?
Yeah, I'm getting the feeling that the Wicklow Escape, it lends itself to proposals, I think.
Yeah.
You know, I know you mentioned wedding, but I mean, it's very romantic.
You're not going to get down on one knee, no?
No. I'm actually waiting myself. I've never happened yet, but no, it's a place that really lends itself.
Yeah, and you know, we've had some absolutely beautiful weddings here as well, like winter wedding. We've had one with a bride who was 8 months pregnant, so I worked as a doula before, so I was like, well, wouldn't that be great? Because it was actually, what was it? It was 2 days before Christmas, and I was like getting kind of Jesus vibes going on. But like, we've had people married in the long haul, we've had people married in the gardens, in the forest, and now we have the beautiful pavilion outside that we put up in June. You know, we can have a wedding outside under the pavilion.
Now look, that brings us very nicely along to your first choice of music this evening, Lisa. What have you picked for us?
So I have picked My Sweet Lord by George Harrison, which it's just this song of devotion. Like he, you know, My Sweet Lord, I would love to feel that feeling of devotion. And what happens when I listen to it, it just brings this huge sense of happiness. And I just want to bring out my inner hippie and clap.
A Taste of Ireland with Ireland's Blue Book. A romantic collection of Irish country house hotels, manor houses, castles and restaurants. Ireland'sBlueBook.com.
On Dublin's easy place to relax.
Sunshine, 106.8. Sunshine, 106.8.
And you're very welcome back to A Taste of Ireland. I'm here with my very special guest, Lisa Wilkinson, surrounded by nature and beauty in the beautiful Wicklow Escape. Now, Lisa, most people would be very, very busy running this place, but of course that's not enough for you at all. You've decided to study to be a barrister as well, and a few other businesses, right? So really, where does this energy come from?
I think growing up with a father who ran his own business. Someone said to me once, when you're interviewing people, look for people who worked within a family business, because they are workers. They know how to work. They will pick up the toilet paper on the toilet floor. They will do everything. And I think that's where I came from. You know, my first job was working for £1 an hour with my dad in his reception in his company. And from there, I think I just saw this kind of, it's, you know, the Protestant work ethic maybe. And when I, you know, when I went to university, studied mathematics and engineering, and I left after 6 weeks, and I was like, I can't do this. I just want to get a job. I just want to work. And so that really kind of brought me on the journey through tech. And then it brought me into marketing. It brought me into that whole world of kind of creativity with marketing. And when I left the corporate world in a blaze of glory, I read this book, and it was The Idiot's Guide to Stress. And there were 35 points. And the last one was, if all else fails, run away. I went straight to number 35. I gave up my job, my apartment, my boyfriend at the time, and went to the Bahamas to train to be a yoga teacher. So I woke up the next morning after landing in the Bahamas on a beach in a tent, surrounded by these people holding hands and singing to their breakfast. I was like, oh my God, where am I? Anyway, so coming on from there, I started my own yoga business, and my ethos in my business was always to do things that myself or my family might need, because I thought if I need them, other people might need them. So the yoga business, the Elbow Room, grew. It was one of the first yoga studios in Ireland, and we had a huge emphasis, and we still do, for women, pregnancy, birth, that whole thing. We have people in the classes, up to a priest who's 83 years old. That then merged into childcare, because I needed childcare, so I started a childcare business. My daughter was suffering from sensory processing difficulties at school, so I started a business with kids with additional needs, providing diagnostic and treatment services. We found that we didn't have enough yoga teachers, so we started a yoga training business. I keep saying we, like I've got some clone some clone sitting next to me. Me and my team. And then during the pandemic, when everything closed down, I sat literally on my backside and created an online platform called YoFlix, so people could do play on demand yoga and wellbeing classes. And now we've rolled that out to the corporate sector for remote workers. So in there, somewhere in there, I've been struggling for years with tenancy issues as a commercial tenant. And my solicitor told me that, yeah, this is just how the law is, and you're just going to have to suck it up, and, you know, you're not going to be entitled to another lease. And I was like, I have this huge sense of fairness and justice. My dad is actually, he then went on to become a judge, so he's a retired judge. So I kind of went, well, that's not good enough. I'm going to actually go and study in King's Inns. I'm going to study law to see if I can fight this tenancy dispute and have a little bit more knowledge about it. And once I started, I was like, oh my God, I love this. Now, it's such hard work, though, trying to run 7 businesses, a family as a single parent, the Escape, which was relaunched, if you like, in July, and study. But I did really well in my first year exams, and I'm now into the second one. It's slightly more tricky this year because there isn't a lockdown. I said it's a bit harder this year because at least everything was closed last time. So I'm doing a lot of juggling at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing listening to you, really. I mean, you see a problem. And like you said about the childcare and about the yoga, and you just create your own solution.
Wow.
I mean, I think I see great things ahead. I see great things. I think we need people like you here. But what drew you to yoga? I mean, is yoga something that everybody should be doing?
So what drove me to yoga was a series of mental health issues. I became really, really stressed, got really burnt out to the point of paranoia. You know, my head and my mind wasn't my own. It just kind of it was going off. I was convinced there was a conspiracy going on somewhere. It was really bad, and it was about the fourth time it had happened, and a friend of mine turned around to me and said, look, you should really try yoga. So I got on my bike in Dublin, like cycling in Dublin is bad enough, you know, cycled to this place to do the yoga class, shouted at least 4 or 5 cars that cut me up, did the class, came out, and like it was like someone had just transformed me. Literally, I cycled back and I was like, it's fine, you cut me up, man. It's, you know, so since then, it just became the best tool ever. You know, yogurt, like for me, it's I don't really treat it as a spiritual practice. I treat yoga as, you know, meditation, moving meditation, and something to keep my body looking as gorgeous as it does, because, you know, you're as old as your spine, so you keep everything moving and it's all lubricated and everything keeps that mobility. But really, if you can translate that into a moving meditation, it's just so amazing for mental health. And there is no way that I'd be able to juggle the life I have if I didn't have the tools that like 22 years of practicing yoga have given me.
That's incredible, because I mean, a lot of people I've heard over the years saying that. So it's something that really I think everybody should look at, I think.
It is, yeah. That's why I started the YoFlix platform, because, you know, not everyone can get out to a class, especially during the pandemic. People didn't want to go and mix with people. Now we have this whole crew of people who actually don't want to go into yoga classes because they can do them when they want at home. You know, yeah. they can pick and choose.
If you pardon the pun, great flexibility.
Yes, great flexibility,
wonderful.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Do you envisage like an escape like this in every county in Ireland? Or have you got these plans for like dominating the whole country now with these amazing wellness centres?
So, you know, I'm really happy with the place I have here, and I think it's enough. I think it's unique. I don't think I can replicate it anywhere else. Like, where are you going to pull a mountain out and stick it in your back garden? No, for me, it's my underwriting sense of social justice. I have to put my skills and my skill set into something else now. So, you know, I have my exit plan. My exit plan involves some component of the law that will bring me an income, but then some component of the law that will assist other people. So for me, I think working with tenants, working with commercial tenants, helping to shape or change the land law here, which is just incredulous.
Yeah, it's lovely to hear that. I suppose, you know, you have the sense of fairness that you were saying earlier, and justice. And it can be difficult sometimes living in Ireland at the moment when you see all these problems with homelessness and people not being able to buy houses. You'd wonder to yourself, like, how did it get to this?
Yeah, it's just for me when I've been listening to podcasts about it, been reading about it recently. Rory Hearn from Maynooth, I'm just... You know, he's a social policy lecturer in Maynooth, and it just, I'm in tears after listening to some of the, not just the stories, but the lack of insight from politics. So just as, you know, we were talking about before, it's not good enough watching it from the sidelines for me. I have to use my resourcefulness and try and jump in and make a difference.
I think the health and the connection with food as well, that's something that I really enjoyed here.
I think there's a few things in that. Firstly, you know, we're encompassed by nature. So all the Japanese forest bathers would tell you that all that kind of energy and the vibes, if you like, from nature are just permeating into us. You've then got the best sleep in Ireland with the bed. You're waking up to the sound of the birds. You're only a short drive from like Dublin. If you're coming from Dublin, it's very, very short. So you're not having to drive all the way to Kerry to get this like splendid beauty. So you're not dealing with that big, huge commute. The food is the freshest you're going to get. You know, we've organic ingredients. They're made with love and attention. And, you know, you're not getting huge, massive portions. You're getting just what you need to make you feel full, but not kind of like you're not going to roll out into a ball. And then you've kind of got that social connection as well. So laughter, like last night and every night that I've been here, it's always ended up with everybody laughing together, you know. And that, if you bring that all together with the pampering that the staff give you, you feel like you've had a treat.
Do you see for the future in Ireland? I mean, it's been quite a tough time. You've created a unique offering here. What do you, the future of the hospitality business in Ireland, is it something that you think is going to be it'll be more of this sort of experiential?
I think we've got so much talent here. We've got so many talented chefs. We've got so many female talented chefs. I don't know if you noticed, but we've two women in the kitchen, Niamh Barry as well. I mean, she's a fantastic talent. So using that talent in the hospitality and the beautiful country that we have, that is Ireland, you know, bringing the tourists back. I think, you know, the government's done a few good things. We've got the 9% 10% tax rate, which is, you know, it's going to make a difference to us. They have to keep investing. Bord Fulcher have been brilliant in pushing forward and promoting grants to keep us going. So if they can keep that momentum going and keep supporting us, we do need that support. You know, it can't change. We need another 2 years of support to recover from what's happened.
It's been amazing here. It's been lovely to meet you and chat to you. I'm very impressed with everything I've seen here, Lisa. And where did you meet Danny? We're going to have Danny on next now. You guys, and an all-female kitchen, all the Barrys. I felt like I was in Cork. Great. Where did you meet up?
So I put an ad out on Instagram. The first CV I got was Danny. I sent it to Aina Hassett, who was mentoring me at the time. And he sent me a message saying, ring me immediately, which I did. It was in about 10 seconds after posting that he said, hire now. Don't ask any questions. Pay her what she wants.
Fantastic. You can't get better than that.
You can't, no. And of course, amazing. Yeah, she's amazing.
People will know Danny came from Dean's, you know, Epic, the Michelin star restaurant. I mean, you know, she's one of the first female chefs in Ireland to get that. And, you know, but her talent abounds.
Well, the thing that a lot of people might not know about Danny is she is incredibly funny. She is incredibly witty. She's incredibly bright and intelligent. She's such an intelligent person. So her just bringing that into her food, it's just a pleasure to work with her.
Absolutely. Well, Lisa, what have you picked for your second choice of music this evening?
So I've picked Get Lucky by Daft Punk, which is my going out and getting ready song.
Brilliant. Lisa, thank you so much. It's been a pleasure to meet you.
Thank you so much, Ed.
A Taste of Ireland with Ireland's Blue Book, a romantic collection of Irish country house hotels, manor houses, castles and restaurants. Ireland'sBlueBook.com.
On Dublin's easy place to relax.
Sunshine 106.8. Sunshine 106.8.
And you're very welcome back to A Taste of Ireland. And now I'm delighted to be joined by Danny Barry, the head chef here at the Wicklow Escape. Danny, lovely to meet you.
You too, yeah. Thanks for having me.
So how did a County Down woman end up down here in the Wicklow Escape?
Yeah, it's a long story. I've been around. Just a really random conversation with Lisa on Instagram, really. Just looking around to see what I was doing and that kind of thing, and just wanted to be somewhere nice. And I mean, you can't get much nicer than the Garden of Ireland. So yeah, came down and seen the place and just thought it was really special. Even the produce that was beside us and everything, just loved it.
And I mean, you worked with Michael Dean, who was a guest on the show previously last year. Michael, of course, famous for he's the father of the gourmet scene up in the north of Ireland.
Well, I trained in Dean's as a kid, so I knew Michael very early on in my career. I would have been maybe 17 when I started in Dean's, and he himself was cooking upstairs at that time in Restaurant Michael Dean, which had a Michelin star. There was a lot of training there. Like, I seen him in the kitchen then, and then went away and travelled and worked all over. And then when he was reopening as a peak as it is now, he got in touch to say, would you be interested in coming and having a look at it? And then he was very much like a outside of the kitchen role, but very much like in charge, like looked after me loads and looked after like the room and, you know, the monies and the things like that. And yeah, it was great.
And did you always want to be a chef? Was that something that was always inside you? Like, I want to be a chef?
I don't think I always wanted to be a chef. No. I think when I started working in restaurants, I just wanted to save money for a car because I lived in a very rural area and you needed to drive. So it was a necessity at that time. And then I really loved the kitchen and I loved the practical element of it. And, you know, I was just washing pots. And then as the weeks would go on, you maybe would get onto pastry or you would do some salads or something. And I was watching these chefs work and I'd never seen anything like it before, you know. So, and it was all very simple stuff now, but like when you looked at it at the time, it was, you know, it just kind of opened my eyes to that kind of way of working. And I was at school, I was doing A-levels. I was quite academic, so I, you know, it was kind of assumed I would go on to uni, but I hadn't decided what I would do at that stage. So I took a year out and said to my parents, like, I'll go to catering college for a year. And now I'm sitting here talking to you, so that's a while ago.
Lucky me. And of course, you're from County Down, which for me is one of the most beautiful parts of Northern
Ireland.
Lovely,
I love it, yeah.
The food scene, Danny, in the north of Ireland just exploded over the last 10, 15 years, even 20 years, I suppose, with all the Michelin star restaurants up there, like you were saying, Epic, you know, yeah. Ox, the
Mother's Club, yeah.
And of course, you've got the other restaurants which wouldn't be Michelin, which like Niall McKenna's places. I mean, there's so many. There's something amazing going on up in the north, isn't it? It's breeding this incredible array of chefs.
It is, yeah. The standard of food in the north is so high. And, you know, when I was working in Belfast, you would get people coming over from, you know, Bristol or Manchester or Glasgow for a weekend, and they would have two dinners out. You know, there was so many places for them to go, which I don't think there was that before until the last maybe, 7 or 8 years, maybe 10 years. Yeah, it's great. And the produce as well. But I think, you know, a bit of peace and stability has probably brought a lot of that on, you know, and a bit of investment in the people. And, you know, I think it still needs more. Like, I love Northern Ireland. That's home, you know. So obviously, I think it's great. But yeah, I think just that kind of bit of stability has made people just have normal lives and do normal things.
And I mean, it's brilliant that you've brought that now here to the Wicklow Escape. I suppose to give people an idea, maybe you could just bring us to a little bit maybe what we had last night, because the array and the variety and the quality, wow.
Yeah, well, you were at the long table last night, which is our like second night if you book the package with us. The long table is like a more tasting menu, kind of, you know, 5 courses with a few extras in there, a few surprises, because we can just do what we want here. We're very flexible, you know, and we have some great produce on our doorstep. So last night you would have had the venison, which is local. Even the eggs for the egg yolk dish is, you know, Grace's organic eggs. All the vegetables are coming from Castle Ruddery, which is an organic farm, like as much as possible. And anything else we kind of grow here. So when you start with that sort of quality, you know, you really... you can do very little to it and you can really taste it, I think, in the food itself. So,
and by the way, congratulations. I know we were talking to Lise earlier, a new addition to the Ireland's Blue Book, of course, which is lovely as well.
Yeah, we're delighted. Yeah, yeah. I love the Blue Book and, you know, it's, yeah, no, we're delighted to be in that. So there's such a high standard of places in that book. So it's great. Yeah, no, we're thrilled.
Yeah, and people are going to love it when they come here. Now, you're a TV celebrity now as well, right?
Well,
not just the day job. You're on TV on BBC Northern Ireland as well. What Farm to Feast?
Yeah.
Now, I've seen one. That is great. Do you love being a judge and giving out to people?
No, I think I come across very serious in that, but I can tell you it was so much fun when we were there. I don't know, it's all in the editing, as you well know.
Yeah.
But yeah, we had a great time. They approached me and they were saying, like, it's all homegrown. Like, they're a local TV company and there was local researchers, local produce, local contestants and everything. And I just thought, yeah, I think, you know, this could be something really good crack, really good fun, and like showcase like Northern Ireland. Like, if there's someone from Northern Ireland on it, there's usually one, do you know, you never really see. And I would watch them and I would follow the person from Northern Ireland, and then once they go home, you kind of lose interest a little bit. So it was nice to just have something more focused around there, because as you said, there's a lot of really special stuff happening up there, and like, we were spoiled for choice with the produce to even give these guys, and they were fearless. They just attacked everything. They were cooking eels, never seen eels before in their life, and they just went for it. So I loved it.
And when you decided to move here down to Wicklow, the Garden of Ireland, did you kind of look around and see, oh, there's great produce around here, or this place is going to be able to really feed what I do?
Yeah, exactly that. When the first weekend I came down and just said to Lisa, I'll just cook a few bits and, you know, we'll chat and we'll kind of see, make a plan. And she had Wagyu here for me, the Ridgeway Wagyu beef. And I was like, well, if this is how we're starting, do you know, this will be good. And then went to Castle Ruddery, you know, there's so much within 3 miles, Ballyhobbock as well for the cheese, and went up to George and met all the sheep. And, you know, there's a lot of really special things in this part of Wicklow. It's not a part of Wicklow you hear of, I don't think, very often. So it's nice to bring something to here, this area. A lot of our suppliers would deal with restaurants in Dublin, you know, and there's very few people locally using them. So it's really lovely that we have all the stuff on here.
You get an amazing sense of satisfaction feeding people.
Oh, I love feeding people, definitely a feeder. But food does that. Food brings people together. You know, you'll always talk about the food, even if you're at a wedding, it's a great conversation starter. You'll just start talking about the food. So, and I think people have really missed the social aspect of eating out, as much as, you know, a lot of people have cooked a lot more at home, and that's great, but you also have to wash up, and you don't have to do that here.
No, absolutely. And I mean, if you were to say to somebody, you know, what, you know, two nights, three nights you come down for the package here, that's really just incredible. And you could even, I mean, you could stay here longer, I guess, if you wanted to, but that's really something very special, isn't it?
It is. I think it's quite unique for that and for what we offer here. And just even the location and the fact you're really away from it all. It is a genuine escape. And yeah, we just want you to park the car and we'll feed you and get you drunk as much as possible.
Wonderful. And Danny, are you really enjoying Wicklow here now? Are you enjoying the countryside? Is it a big change for you from Belfast?
I am enjoying the countryside, yeah. It's beautiful here. It's really lovely. Now, the winter will be interesting. I've had a beautiful summer. It's a big change from being in a city, but it's a good change, you know. It's certainly, we're very busy here, so it's you're kept going anyway.
Yeah, and of course, the menu changes all the time, doesn't it? So you can come down. How often do you change it?
Yeah, well, some things change every week. It really depends, you know, because if Castle Rotary say they have something, we just want to get it on there, things like that. So seasonally now, we're making bigger changes, but like as the weeks go on, little things will change here and there. And then I have Niamh in the kitchen on pastry, and she, you know, also brings her side to it, and she wants to do something different, then we work it out between ourselves. So every week you could not have the same experience, which is nice as well for the guests, because if you come on a Wednesday and a Thursday night, you might have a totally different experience from the people who were here on Friday and Saturday.
Yeah, and Niamh and yourself, two Barrys and an all-female kitchen.
I know, yeah.
Great combination.
Yeah, well, the numbers are stacked in our favour there. All-female kitchen sounds very impressive. There's just the two of us. But yeah, not sisters, not related, but yeah, she's been great.
Wonderful. Well, listen, Danny, I just want to say thanks. Great to chat to you today, and thanks for the most amazing experience last night, and I can't wait to come back. Now, what have you picked for your choice of music for us this evening?
Well, you're most welcome. I have picked The Waterboys, The Hole of the Moon. This is a song, music in a kitchen is actually quite important, like in the morning for prep and everything. And this is a song that all over my career, some chef has been playing, and everybody sings along, gets on with their work. So it's good.
Danny Barry, thank you very much.
Thank you.